In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In our gospel lesson from St. Mark, we meet a very comforting man. Not Jesus this time, but rather the father of the son who has the unclean spirit. This man brings us a sort of uncomfortable comfort because this man is so much like us. The man's son has a spirit that makes him mute and tries to destroy him. And so the father brings his son to Jesus' disciples to have them cast out the evil spirit. The father has high hopes of deliverance, but the disciples are unable to drive out the demon. The Jewish scribes, with glee, they watch the disciples' failure. They seize the opportunity to point out their humiliation. The scribes and the disciples are locked in a heated dispute when Jesus returns from being on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John. The crowd, which had been interested in the argument, now turns its attention to Jesus. Jesus inquires as to what is going on. The father explains what's happened with his son. They bring the son over and he convulses in front of him. And Jesus asks the father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. And it has often cast him into fire and into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Here we find the uncomfortable comfort. The father says to Jesus, "If you can do anything." The man's faith has been weakened. He believed Jesus' disciples could drive out this evil spirit, but they could not. Now he's not so sure that Jesus can help. How often have you found yourself like this father with weakened faith? There are times when it feels like your faith is so strong that nothing can shake it. Perhaps after worship on a Sunday morning when the hymns and the sermon and the Lord's Supper fortified you and strengthened you for the coming week, and you feel like your faith is unshakable. But then comes those things that shake your faith. Hardships and tragedies can weaken faith. A family member gets sick. A loved one dies, and you find yourself blaming God. Your marriage is in trouble. Your child's on a bad path. Your finances are a mess. There's a natural disaster or a violent attack. You grow angry with God and you become more distant from his word and his sacraments, and your faith weakens. Success also can shake your faith. Things are going well. The kids are achieving great things in sports and school. You've gotten a promotion at work. There's some money in the bank and God just seems less important. Your faith in yourself grows stronger and your faith in God weakens. You would like to believe that your faith just grows ever stronger and more vibrant throughout your life, but you know that that's not true. You know that you have times when you're just barely holding on to faith in Christ. In today's gospel reading, we meet a man like that. He's barely holding on to faith. His son is in trouble. Maybe Jesus can help. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and heal us. Here's a man like us who's struggling in faith. How does Jesus react? And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for him who believes." The man wants to believe, but he just watched Jesus' disciples fail to help his son. He's desperately holding on by a thread. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe. Help my unbelief. I believe. Help my unbelief." What a great prayer. It's powerful in its humility and its simplicity. It is honest and it's trusting. And how does God in flesh respond to this humble prayer? And when Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out. And the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. What wonderful good news for you and for me. Jesus helps a man with weak faith. Jesus hears the man's prayer and responds and drives out the evil spirit from his son. And this is such good news. Jesus hears the prayers of those with weak faith. Hallelujah. At times people ask me to pray for good weather or something like that, saying, "Because you're closer to the big guy." But I'm not. Being a pastor does not make me closer to God. I struggle with sin. I struggle with faith. This is my prayer too. I believe. Help my unbelief. I know it must be at times your prayer also. I believe. Help my unbelief. The great good news in today's gospel reading is to know that Jesus hears the prayers of those with weak faith. It is good news for you. It is good news for me. It is good news for the world. It is good news because we live in a world that is full of people with weak faith. This world is filled with bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. And Jesus' gentle treatment of those weak in faith fulfills the prophecy of Isaiah, as we hear in Matthew 12. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench, until he brings justice to victory. Jesus is gentle with those struggling with faith. He's gentle with those who do not have it all together. Jesus is gentle with those who struggle with sin and temptation. Jesus eats with sinners. Jesus does not lessen the law, but he speaks the truth in love. Jesus loves you so much, he takes the penalty for your sin upon himself, and he offers you the forgiveness of sins. And so in this world full of broken, hurting people, in this world of bruised reeds and smoldering wicks, those who presume to speak for God bear a great responsibility. Pastors and church teachers are warned in our reading from James. "Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness." James then talks about how difficult it is to control the tongue. I could probably come up with a quite long sermon series about personal experience of my lack of control of my tongue throughout my lifetime. We all have issues with this. But whose tongue is James talking about here in James 3? It is indeed the tongue of the pastor. It's the tongue of the church teacher. Those who speak on behalf of God and say, "Thus saith the Lord," must truly speak on behalf of God. It is a great temptation to preach my own opinions and present them as God's word. That should never be. I must tame my tongue. For me, writing out my sermons fully, editing them, re-editing them, helps me be more thoughtful, more precise in my language, what I need to say. It gives me time to control my tongue, because the tongue is dangerous. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Misguided pastors can set fields of bruised reeds on fire with false teachings. False teachers lead people to hell. There's a great temptation to take God's word and to soften it, to knock off the sharp edges, to make God's word more in line with our thinking. So many pastors try to get rid of the truths of God that they don't like. They try to get rid of hell. They try to get rid of God's teachings on marriage and intimacy. They try to get rid of Jesus being the only way to the Father. They try to reshape God in their own image and then teach about this new God. But now instead of using their tongues to bless the people, They are using their tongues to curse the people to hell. As members of Emmanuel, you have a responsibility to ensure that I am preaching the truth of God's word. You need to be so familiar with God's word that you'll know if I have gone astray. If you hear me preach something contrary to Scripture, let me know. There have been a couple of times those last 20 years where after the 8 o'clock service, someone approached me with a detail of something I said that might not align with Scripture, and I'd check it and adjusted my sermon for 10:45. So read and study your Bible. Listen carefully to the sermon. Make sure you're always being given living water and not deadly poison. Together as the church, we stay alert. We remain aware of what we believe, teach, and confess. And we make sure that it is the truth of God. Together we cling to the forgiveness we have in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Together we are careful to be gentle in our teachings because people are weak and have weak faith. There are a lot of bruised reeds and smoldering wicks. Together as followers of Jesus here at Emmanuel Lutheran Church and School, we gently speak the truth in love. We acknowledge that we are all sinners who need a Savior. We struggle to control our tongues. We speak the truth in love, and we trust in Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. And together, we pray the comforting, uncomfortable prayer of the Father in Mark 9. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith. Until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.